Friends, this is Jim, program producer here at Compassion Radio, and I just want to encourage you right off the top to check out our brand new website at CompassionRadio.com. It's been a long time coming, and we're pretty excited about it, and we'd love to get your feedback. So check it out at CompassionRadio.com. That said, previously on Compassion Radio.
And we should not be afraid of interacting with those who don't call Christ their Lord. And we talk about how important evangelism is here in America, how much more essential it is in countries like Bangladesh that are not just developing, but are at the crossroads of an awful lot of violent ideologies.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. We are Compassion Radio. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, it reads, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Today, we continue with the second half of Bram Floria's conversation with a gentleman named Richard Sarkar, a man who epitomizes the phrase, "put your money where your mouth is," as he's given a great deal of his own time, talent, and treasure to serve those in need, particularly in his homeland of Bangladesh. Here's Bram.
Richard Sarkar, welcome back to Compassion Radio today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, yesterday on the program, we discussed about how God had brought you from some very important work that you had been doing with your own culture group back in Bangladesh that had been very effective in the kingdom. You brought the gospel forward, schools are built, infrastructure is happening, communication and cooperation between Islam and Christianity was beginning for the first time in that community. A real gospel story of seed being planted, cultured, grown, and fruit being born. It's a great story. Now, of course, that story also means that you got noticed by other people in the kingdom doing kingdom work. And one of those people was Dr. Jennings, which I've traveled with a number of times. And between the three of us, we've seen a lot of the world now and where God's doing his best to work. Now, he found you and saw the quality of the projects that God had inspired you to follow through on and saw the follow-through that you were able to stick with it and complete a project. And that got his attention fast. And now you're part of the Conscience International team internationally, which goes and assesses and implements projects which have real life transforming power. And you're doing that now almost full time. So tell me about the problem in the backyard of Bangladesh right now, the one that's made world news, because you've had some eyes on this problem. Tell us about the Rohingya.
Yes, brother. Thank you for asking this question. When I heard about this problem, the Rohingya refugees that have been thrown out of their own homeland, and this was not the first time, this is the third time it happened to them, but this is the largest influx of Rohingyas out of Myanmar.
That's an important detail to make sure we capture here, that this is not a first-time event. It's the first time that the West has become interested or even aware of it, but this is something that the Rohingya have endured many times.
Yeah. And fortunately, I was involved in the previous two times because I was with the United Nations at that time in Bangladesh. And I went and helped the refugees. So I knew all the dynamics that goes on. But this time, Dr. Jennings, when he asked me, and my answer was, he said, "Richard, we have some money to help the Rohingyas and we have been talking about it. Do we have time to go?" And I always tell him, I just laugh and I said, "Dr. Jennings, here I am. Send me."
Yeah. That's prophet talk again, isn't it?
So he said, yes, he's planned to go. So I'm very grateful for this opportunity. So when I went there, it was heartbreaking.
And how long has it been since you've been back from that first assessment trip of this crisis?
Well, this was originally supposed to be an assessment trip. But then I told Dr. Jennings that when I go there, I know that it will be devastating for me, and I don't want to go empty hand.
Mm-hmm.
So give me something so that I can at least do something. So he gave me some money, and of course, the purpose of this trip was to go and make an assessment. And from here, I could already visualized what was going on because I had been there twice in the past occasions when they came.
Yes.
So this time it was even more devastating because the number is unbelievable.
How many Rohingya are now on the road or having to settle other places?
Well, there are everywhere. You go there, you see on the street, on the jungle, on the they have makeshift tents inside the forest. Mm. There are not one camp, but I was able to visit the largest camp, which is called Kutupalong. The road is not good at all. Of course, there is a lot of chaos and confusion and all those things there. And, the Rohingyas are Muslims.
Yes.
And they are thrown out of a Buddhist country.
Yeah.
And then there is a lot of dynamics that is going on there that sometimes is very uncomfortable to talk about.
Yeah.
You know?
Genocide is not one of those things we like to have dinner talk about.
Yeah. So at least Dr. Jennings gave me some money. So I was not sure what I will do. So I had to go and talk to several people that connected with the work. And first thought was that maybe I will buy some clothes, saris and lungis that normally they wore. But then everybody said that the most important thing is food.
Yeah.
So we bought rice from the nearest wholesale market and took them in a truckload and handed over. We went to the military camp. Of course, we went through a lot of checkposts, military police checkposts, and handed over the rice bags to the military authorities.
Now, these camps right now are on Bangladeshi soil, correct?
Yes, they're very close to the Bangladesh-Myanmar border. You know, the Bangladesh and Myanmar, they're separated with a river, River Naaf. And across the river is Myanmar, and on this side is Bangladesh. So people, of course, there are other ways to come through the jungles and all that, but most people come through the river. And, of course, that is also devastating because they fear of life. They travel in an overloaded, overcrowded boat, and a lot of them die,
These are not small rivers.
Yeah, and when I went there, I saw a lot of the people sitting on the street. Like, you see one woman sitting with like a 6-7 kids, small kids. And when I asked them about their husband, they just show me, they use the sign language. That means their husbands have been slaughtered.
Oh.
Yeah, because they're Muslims, and mostly, well, they are considered not very civilized or they're like a fighters. And Myanmar never wanted them there. That's why this is the third time they're doing it so badly. In two other occasions, they didn't want them to be back to Myanmar. They wanted, because they're originally Bengalis, Bangladeshi, and then living in Myanmar for generations. Like you can see in many other parts of the world that people migrate from one country to another and live there for generations, and suddenly they think, oh, you don't belong here, get out of here. So this is what is happening there.
Yeah, we understand some of those sentiments nowadays.
Yes.
Richard, this ongoing conflict, generations long, the sense of identity, when an entire people group is driven out across international borders because, not because of a direct dispute about something about control of that country, but because one group decides you don't deserve to live. I may not kill every single one of you, but I'm certainly not going to let you stay on my territory. They drive an entire population across the river, and they're a culturally Islamic or Muslim group. Here's the tough question that the Christians in America and the West need to consider. And I want you to answer this as honestly as you can for me. Why should Christians be involved, care, or even know about this crisis?
Well, we cannot be judgmental. And if somebody do wrong, we cannot do wrong. Instead, God wanted us to help the needy and the poor and the orphan and the people in prison or refugees. So, because of our love for human lives, we have to help them. We cannot deny the fact that they are in desperate need, no matter why, political, economic, or whatever, we have to help them.
Yeah.
One story, when Dr. Jennings and I were there in Myanmar in 2012, there was a problem. We heard about this Rohingya situation and all that, and we wanted to hear what the Muslims in Myanmar say about the situation. So we made an appointment with the chief priest of a mosque in Rangoon. And we met him, and Dr. Jennings asked him, and he didn't want to answer. He did not want to take any ownership of these Muslims, brothers and sisters in Myanmar who are called Rohingyas in Rakhine State. And so we were surprised.
So even the local Muslims had turned their backs on the Rohingya.
Exactly, exactly. So you can see the situation. Even the Muslim, their own people, disowned them.
Interesting. Now, why do you think that happened? Was it simply because of a cultural clash or because they didn't have anything to offer them?
Well, it can be a cultural clash, but then it could be economical. Because if you go to Myanmar, you will see the China is like a half of Myanmar belongs to China.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of stories that China has a lot of interest in that area. They want to build industries, and some people say that there are a lot of mines there, hidden treasures that they can get, and there could be so many other things. And practically, these Rohingyas were never accepted as the part and parcel of Myanmar as a whole in the society.
And they certainly weren't given the honors and privileges of citizenship.
Yeah, they were deprived of everything that a citizen can get.
So they've been troubled by opportunists and disavowed by their own people or their own religion.
Yeah,
so that puts them doubly at need then. So, again, that's the question of the Christians.
Yes.
You know, the most cynical out there would say simply, well, if the Christians come to their rescue, all we're going to end up with is a bunch of more Muslims that hate us. So why should we help them? That's the core question that I want to keep coming back to, because you know the answer and you've been close to it. Why should Christians care about that particular group of Muslims?
Fascinating conversation on today's Compassion Radio, and we'll get right back to it in just a moment after this word from Sharon Elson.
Those of you who are longtime listeners know that for many, many years we've had an annual project of raising money for Bibles for China. And we've always done it over Christmas, and we are doing the project again this year, but now we're doing it for Christmas. Well, we're delighted to do so, but now we hope that your Christmas spirit is available this early to make that possible. For $6, you can place a Bible in the hands of a Christian family who is just aching for one. We know that for every Bible we place, and there are other members in the family who will have access to that Bible, that there will be 4 or 5 people come to know Christ just through the placement of one Bible. We know that there are 20,000 to 30,000 new Christians in China every day, so we know how great the need is. Now, can you get in your Christmas spirit, and can you help us to get the Bibles to China for Christmas this year? Also, as you've heard us tell you year after year, there are well over 100,000 Chinese missionaries that are moving out across the ancient Silk Road trade routes to take back all of that Islamic territory for Jesus Christ. They understand that this Back to Jerusalem movement could help stop extremist Muslim terrorism right in its tracks. And as you probably know, we also believe that that is the only answer to terrorism and Islamization, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 apiece. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Now, let's get back to today's program.
Why should Christians care about that particular group of Muslims?
Well, because Jesus didn't tell us only to help the Christians or Hindus or Buddhists. We can discriminate because of their faith when they're in desperate need for help.
Yeah.
If they're hungry, we have to feed them. I strongly believe that no matter where they are, no matter who they are, no matter what their skin color, no matter what their faith, as Christians, we need to help everyone in need. And as Mother Teresa said that, and I met her personally, and she used to say that you cannot discriminate because of that. You just go and help them.
Yeah.
And if you cannot feed the 100, just feed one.
Yeah.
And like that's what I did. There are almost 1 million, and what we gave as a first-time gift, like this was like an assessment trip, but then he gave me some money, and we bought a huge truckload of rice, which was good enough for 50,000 people for one meal.
Wow.
It can be a drop in the ocean, but I think that drop is very important to build the ocean.
And that was probably one important meal, too.
Yeah. So when you go there, you cannot stop thinking that why should I do anything for these people, Muslims, as Christians, because there are a lot of needs among the Christians. If you think about Syrian refugees, they are not all Christian.
Yeah.
But we are helping them. You go anywhere in the world, we go because we love life.
Yeah.
We love a human being and not judging them on their faith or religion or anything like that.
Well, I think about on the political side of things that it's yes. quite obvious now that a Nobel Prize winner in Aung San Suu Kyi,
yes.
she's lost the vast majority of her moral clout by
yes.
siding with the political ambitions and probably some of the Chinese pressures that are
yes.
driving these atrocities. So
yes.
something about her crumbled in this, and the world noticed, and they look at that with a lot of disdain, which is sad to say. I hope she redeems herself in this lifetime and that the work she's been doing will be shown somehow to be redeeming in the long run, because she did a lot of great work over the years. But for this season right now, she appears to be a real turncoat.
Yeah.
On the other side of things,
she's afraid of her position because she might lose her power.
She might.
Yeah.
On the other side, we speak about the Christians. Are
yeah.
we not in the same position of having to speak Jesus' words but not live them? Have we lost our moral clout, our credibility, our effectiveness, our utility to Jesus, and
yes.
the primacy of the kingdom by abdicating in situations where the least among us are being neglected by even us? We rightfully would say that it is shameful that Muslims would turn their backs on their own family,
yes.
and we rightly call that out. So the next thing becomes, what about the Christians? Do we regard them truly as our neighbor, the way Jesus defined them? And if so, what does that require of us? And I think the first thing is that it requires us to really turn the channel in our own minds and say, they are no longer enemy. I can't reach them. If they keep remaining in my mind as enemy, I can't do anything positive.
Exactly.
So I've got to change
exactly.
my frequency. And you've done that as a Christian man living and growing up in Bangladesh and then coming to America and learning all kinds of ways to bring those worlds together and build peace and build prosperity of the right kind. You've got a world's view here, and now you've got your eyes on the Rohingya. I would agree with you, Richard, that we do it because Jesus would and does do these things, and he doesn't pre-qualify
yes.
us. He certainly didn't pre-qualify us before he saved us. He didn't
yes.
offer salvation to those who were already saved. He offers
exactly.
salvation to those who need it.
And yeah.
I do believe the church needs to be that way, too. So tell me more about the Rohingya situation now. What did you come away learning that surprised you? What kind of things bring you hope? And what kind of challenges do you want to be telling to the American church now?
Yeah, one thing was I knew a little bit about it, but this time when I went there, I saw so many, like a single mother, you know, like with 7, 8 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, like some of these families, I was told that they have like up to 15, 16 kids. And some of these men have more than one wife
yeah.
because they're typical Muslims. So the generation, that the population keep growing. And that is the biggest concern for the Bangladesh government, you know. And when I was there, they were talking about the voluntary sterilization so that they don't keep getting kids. And one surprising thing was, like, I met many of these women. Of course, they were inside the tent, and I tried to go there. And they were there with a small kid, and they looked pregnant.
Mm.
They're still expecting another baby right away.
Yeah.
So that is the biggest challenge there for anybody. You know, they say that there are like more than 100,000 women pregnant who crossed over to Bangladesh.
Yeah.
And in next few months, there will be another 100,000 children added to that 1 million or whatever you say. And then they will keep producing kids.
And of course, that seems to be a threat to all concerned. So
yeah.
it needs a whole different worldview, which is these people are valuable. They're not trash.
Yeah.
They're not
yes.
to be discarded or destroyed. The way to prosperity for all parties concerned is to pursue peace, because stable
yes.
governments, stable societies don't keep generating children to replace the ones they lose through war. They actually
yes.
grow in economic power, and in doing so, less pressure to build population to try to barely squeak out a living.
I mean, yes.
things happen over generations. As prosperity grows, birth rates decline. As birth rates decline, we put less of a burden on the planet. So there are all
yes.
kinds of practical reasons to be pursuing peace, even with your enemies. And of course, who else are you going to pursue peace with anyway? You're not going to pursue peace with your friends.
Right.
So these people are stuck in the vice, the grip of two competing forces and the ignorance and callousness of the world. And yet I do credit the media in general for trying to get the story out because it is big news. And for bringing out the moral and spiritual crisis that's come of it because of the unwillingness of parties to take moral responsibility for their actions. So what do you see as the future of this, Richard, and what do you want to see God do in and through the work that you and the great folks at Conscious International are doing this year?
I hope and pray that God will bring peace to this situation, and at some point both parties will agree, and then, well, the Myanmar government agreed twice before to take them back, and hopefully they will do it again. But what happens when they take them back, many of them stay back in Bangladesh because they prefer to stay here rather than going back to that horror again. I'm grateful to the Bangladesh government because of my former country anyway, but I believe that they have been very kind to say that, well, if I can feed 160 million people in Bangladesh, I can take care of another million. We can share our food.
Yeah.
Of course,
that's a big
she's
step.
Getting a lot of aid from other places, but then at least she had a good heart to accept them and then promise that we'll share our meal with them. And I see it for Conscious International, and I have talked to Dr. Jennings that I would love to continue to do whatever I can. You know, next time, if not food, at least water or clothes, whatever. But I know that food is the most needed commodity that's required.
Indeed.
So I would hope that I will be able to do this. And I'm going back in January, and I already talked to Dr. Jennings, and I hope in the meantime we will be able to, there will be a lot of good parts that will come forward to help them so that I can continue my mission to this great tragedy. And this is considered one of the greatest human tragedy in the world at this point of time.
Well, God willing, and the prayers of the people rising up to help meet the need. Compassion Radio Partners have already invested some time and effort in getting me to the field with Jim to see what's happening on these incredible missions works that Conscious International sponsors and produces around the world. I'm sure the opportunity will come for us to travel again with you and to offer to our own Compassion Radio family an opportunity to help. And I'm looking forward to that time because I know you do incredible work with very limited resources. So God bless you, Richard, and thank you for sharing a bit of your own personal story yesterday and, of course, the incredible story of the Rohingya and the battle they face right now. And of course, this is not just a battle for the Rohingya. This is a battle for the soul of mankind because they're at the leading edge here of a big spiritual crisis that mankind is going through. And will people of faith rise up to serve their God and serve their fellow man in a way that brings peace and restoration and hope? That's our prayer going into the season of Thanksgiving and of celebrating the birth of salvation. This is our season to thank God for what he has done for us and celebrate that birthday of his own son. I pray that that would spill over in many ways and that he would bring the increase to Conscious International as he's done so many times, and that you will have all the resources that God wants you to have, the talents he wants you to invest in the countries where he has you serving. Thank you, Richard, for being part of Compassion Radio today.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for this opportunity. God bless you.
And we'll talk to you soon and get a follow-up report.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Bless you again.
Bless you too.
And that wraps up an inspiring two-day conversation with new friend Richard Sarker of Conscience International right here on Compassion Radio. And indeed, we look forward to following up with Richard in the months to come. Friends, together we inherit an incredible legacy and opportunity to support the entire body of Christ around the world. Every year, Compassion Radio partners like you play their part in helping supply the booming church with the Bibles they need to train the millions of new converts. We'll send absolutely as many of these Bibles as we can this year as you enable us to. We hope to send thousands and thousands of new Bibles through your above and beyond giving. Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 a piece. How many Bibles would you like to send to the fastest growing church in the world in China? For your support of Compassion Radio and our God's Word for China project this month, we'd love to send you something that will remind you to pray every day for the church in China. We have a new supply of two very special and popular crosses made in China. One is a beautiful dark mahogany tinted wood, and the other is a pewter cross of nails. They can be worn around your neck. You can hang them from the mirror in your car, or you can pin it to your message board at home. Any way you display it, you're proclaiming your solidarity with the Christians in China and your faithful partnership with Compassion Radio. Let us know how many you'd like when you contact us today. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Gavernale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.